All right, good morning. We'll get started. Today's daf is daf Chav Ches. We're going to pick up at the Mishnah. I wanted to thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Tammuz, which is Uncle Mike Holtzman. Okay, so says the Mishnah, we're moving on to a new topic here, which is the topic of a cheirim. Not the cheirim where you put someone in excommunication, but a cheirim where you dedicate something using a language of cheirim. Either it can take two forms. It could be a cheirim lebedek habayis, which is you're machrim something. You put something, you say that something is cheirim, and it gets given to the Beis HaMikdash. Or the other is a cheirim lakoin. The Torah talks about the idea that you can make something a cheirim to a coin, and you give it to the coin, and he can do with it as he sees fit. Significantly, if the a cheirim to the coin, a cheirim is something that is not capable of being redeemed or repurchased by the owner. So even if someone were to give, let's say, his stay achuza, he would not have an opportunity to get it back. So cheirim in that sense is more strict than hekdesh, that you have an opportunity to buy it back. We'll see more halachas of cheirim as we go along. So says the Mishnah, second line on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. Machrim Adam mitzono umibekoro umeavodov umishevchosov haknanim umisteach uzaso. So we say as follows, that a person can be machrim from his tzon and his bakar, so he can be machrim animals, meavodov umishevchosov, and he could be machrim, he could take some of his he could take an Eved Kanani or a Shivcha Kananis, or he could take multiple of them, and he could be machrim them, which means he has to give them, for example, if it's a cheirim lekoin, he gives it the coin, from his teachuza. So those are all different types of things. Animals, we're going to walk through the different categories, but animals, avadim, shvachos, or fields, v'yem hechrim es kulam, enam muhramim. Rabbi Lazar. So we say as follows, that if, but there's an interesting halacha here, that if someone were to be machrim any one of these categories in their entirety, so he says, I'm giving all of my avadim and shvachos, or I'm giving all of my animals, then that would not be a valid cheirim. A person cannot give an entire category of their possessions to in a cheirim. Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Azari says, "Ma im legvoya ein adam rashay lahachrim kol nechasav." That if you see that when you're giving your possessions legvoya, which is a reference, it could be obviously the bedek habayis is gavoya, but also even a cheirim coin has an element of that it becomes like hektish till you give it to the coin, and so we say that. And also the concept that he gets it, Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. But in any event, so that you see that if when you're giving something, that a person cannot give the entirety of an asset class, to Hektish, even though he's giving the Gavoa, Alachas Kama Vakama, Sheheldam Chas on the Chasim, that a person needs to be Chas on his own Nechasim or Chas on the remaining Nechasim. There's different translations, but basically, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari says, you see from here that you have to be chas, I have to be, you can't just spend all of your money, you have to be careful with it. We'll see exactly in the Gemara what Rabbi Elazar ben Azari is coming to add or argue on Rabbi Eliezer in the first part, because on the surface, it doesn't look like they're arguing, it looks like Rabbi Elazar ben Azari is taking a logical extension of that. You see a lesson from here. But it's not clear as to what might be their point of difference or contention. So we're up to the Gemara. So ask the Gemara, Mina Nimili, how do I know that you can only give a part of a given asset class, and you can't give an asset class in its entirety? The Tana Rabbanan, because we learned in a Braisa, we're going to learn as follows. The Pasuk says, Mikol Asher Lo, Velo Kol Asher Lo. So it says that, so we're going to understand that this is, so this is the Pasuk. The Pasuk of Charamim in Vayikra Chav Zayin says, Ach kol cheirim asher yachram, so it says, any cheirim that you make a cheirim, a man la Hashem, ta Hashem mikol asher lo, from anything that he has to him, Me Adam, Ubehema, Umisteh Achuzaso. So these categories are included in the Pasuk. A person, a behema, his teachuzo, we'll see Mikol Asher Lo is a reference to Metaltolin, all of those things, lo yimachir v'lo yigoal, he cannot sell them or redeem them, kol cherem kodesh kadashim hu l'ashem, that a cherem is kodesh kadashim to Hashem, that's the pasuk. So the Braisa is darshaning this pasuk and says as follows, Mikol Asher Lo v'lo kol Asher Lo, that you could give from among, Mikol, from your Metaltolin, but not all of your Metaltolin, because when it says from all of them, it's saying not everything. Me Adam velo kol Adam. The pasuk says, "Me Adam that from amongst the people that you have, you could give some of your people, but not all of them." Me behema velo kol behema. Now, mind you, the pasuk doesn't actually say the words "me behema." The pasuk says, "Mikol asher lo me Adam u behema umisteach uzaso." But we're going to darshan it. Me Adam u behema, so the mem of Me Adam goes also on the behema. So the idea is, and we'll use the girsa here of, if I could find the girsa, we could use it. Alright, so one second, we say, Mehema v'lo kol behema, misteh achuza, v'lo kol steh achuza, from steh achuza, you cannot give your entirety of your steachuzos. I don't know why I'm not finding it here on my Gemara, but okay. So therefore, very good. So that's the Braisa is saying. That's how we know you can't give an asset class because it says me adam misteachuzos o mikol asher lo. It doesn't. It's not all of them. So it says. Continues the Braisa. Yachol lo yachrim v'im hechrim yu muchramim. So I might think that maybe this is only lechatchila, that you're not supposed to give an entire asset class, but if you do, it's going to nonetheless be considered a valid cherem. So to that, says the Gemara, it says the Braisa Tamalemer Ach, that it says Ach, and Rashi points out, Ach v'rakin mi'utin, so we know that the word Ach, but, and the way this pasuk starts, is Ach kol cherem, that's Kodesh Lashem, so we're understanding that as a further exclusion from Ach is an exclusion, and so it's coming to say that not only shouldn't you do it, but you can't do it. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, these are the words of Rabbi Elazar, and continues the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah makes the same comment he does in our Mishnah, Ma'im legavoa in Adam Rashai lahachim kol nuchasov, that when he's giving it to Shemayim, he's giving legavoa, a person can't be machrim all his properties, Allah is kamakama, shehe adam chas on nuchasov, that a person needs to be chas on his nechasim. Okay, so we've brought a braisa here that establishes how we know that a person can be machrim some of an asset class, but not the entirety of an asset class. And if he were to be tried to be machrim his entire, all of his servants or all of his slaves or all of his animals, it would not take effect. So the Gemara is now going to walk through and explain why we need all of these cases. Why wouldn't we just learn from one or a couple of them that you can't give away an entire asset class? Says the Gemara, but Tzricha, I need all of these. De'ikas rachmanim mikol asher lo, because if the pasuk only said ach kol cherem asher yachram ish l'Hashem mikol asher lo, from everything that he has, so you say okay, mikol means from everything but not everything. So says the Gemara, I would misunderstand that, because then I would say, Hava mina kol de isle lo lachrim, avo min echad lachar me kule. So he says as follows, so I might think, if it just said mikol asher lo, I would in fact darshan the mem to say from everything he has, but not everything. But what would I understand that to mean? To mean that a person cannot do a cherem of all of his assets, right? So therefore, if a person has, 500 assets, he can't be machrim 500 of them. He can only be machrim a lesser number. He could do 495. But what would you not know from there? You would not be able to learn from there that a person can't be machrim an entire asset class. So let's say of his 500 assets, 100 of them are land. You would say, fine, no problem. As long as you're not machrim 500, you're machrim 495. You could even include all of your land, all of your steachuzas. So we're saying no. So that would be the wrong implication. So therefore, kasav rachmanam me adam. So the pasuk adds, "May Adam from your slaves." So therefore, "V'lo kol Adam," and not every man. So now the pasuk would, the way we're learning, the pasuk would say, "Ach kol cherem asher yachar mishal Hashem mikol asher lo may Adam." So then you see, it's mikol asher lo is not a reference to all of his assets. So rather, how we're going to go understand mikol asher lo? We're going to go back to our initial understanding, which is mikol asher lo is a reference to his metaltalin, his movable objects, his regular things. So now we're up to the pasuk tells us, okay, you can't give all of your movable objects, and you can't give all of your slaves. V'kasav rachmanu me adam. So maybe what about? But you're saying we can't just write adam me adam because. Maybe if it says me adam delosagule below avoda, so it says because maybe a person can't really function well below avoda is the gersa below avoda that he can't function well without his servants avosada. On earth, so you say maybe a person needs to hold on earth because again what we're talking about here is that a person needs to hold on to some of this asset class so that he has it. So I would say if it just said may Adam, I would say, okay, fine. A person can't go without any slaves because he needs that for his work. Avosada, but a field, sagile b'distoren. So it should be enough to do with distoren. What's distoren? Rashi says, she aris l'acherim, that he should be a sharecropper for other people. V'yakabel sadas l'mechzor sh'shirviyah, where he makes a deal with them. He says, I'm going to have half the crops or a third or fourth, whatever it is. So in other words, I might think if it only said mikol asher lo may Adam, so then I would know metaltalin and slaves, but I wouldn't know fields because I'd say maybe you could get fields from anywhere. So therefore it adds the misteachuza. V'yashminan hani tarti. So if I would tell you just these two, that a person needs to have fields and he needs to have slaves, mishum the hacha chiyusa of a hacha chiyusa. So I would tell you that maybe that because these are necessary for his livelihood. Metaltalin, you would say he doesn't need. So we say therefore it has to say mikol asher lo. So trichi. So therefore it is needed. So says just using the gears of the Bach, mi behema lamali. Okay. So that, therefore, we've explained all these things. But one thing that was missing was we explained why he needed mikol asher lo for metaltalin, because even though it's not necessary per se for his livelihood. Me adam, we explained because a person needs slaves. Misteachuz also, we explained because a person needs fields. And you can't assume that he should just sharecrop. But we didn't address, the pasuk says, uvehema. So what do we need that for? So says the Gemara, l'chedesanya, like we learned in the Braisa, yachol, I might think, yachrim adam bino ubito avadov shifchaso ha'ivriyem uste miknaso. So he says, I might think that a person can be machrim his son or his daughter. Now obviously we're going to talk about this, he can only be machrim what he has. So whatever rights he has in his son, it seems to me machlokas about exactly what that is. Bito, he has the rights to what his daughter earns, he can take. He also has the right to, if his daughter is to sell her. We'll talk about that in a minute. V'avadav shivcha so ivriyim. If someone has an eved or a shivcha, which would be an eved ivri or an amr ivriya, so I might think that he can be machrim then. Now, obviously, if a guy has an eved ivri who's working for him for 6 years, and all he can be machrim is what he has. But maybe if only 2 years have elapsed since he got this eved ivri, so he has 4 more years of service from the guy, so maybe I would say that he can be machrim 4 years worth of service to the Kohen or to the Beis HaMikdash, uste miknaso or uste mikne. So again, uste mikne we know is different than uste achuzo. We've been talking about this for a number of days now. So if, let's say, he bought at the beginning of Yovel a field for 45 years he bought it, and now 10 years later he wants to be machrim 35 years, I might think you'd be able to do this. Talmud Lomer, the Braisa says, no, you can't, because the pasuk says behema, and it says that one of the things that and we darshan mi behema, because it says me adam u behema, so that mem goes on behema also. So we say ma behema, so that's a miut that from among your behema, and the fact that it says behema there teaches you something about the categories that are eligible for cheirim. Ma behema yesh lo rishos lo mochra, af kol she yesh lo rishos lo mochra. So we're saying that from the fact that it includes the word behema, even though we didn't per se need it to tell us that you can't sell a full asset class because we've addressed all of those asset classes, but behema comes to tell you that the category of things that are eligible to be made a cherem are things that, like a behema, is something that you have rishus to sell. So ask the Gemara, one second, v'halo bita katana yesh lo rishus l'mochrom. So yachol yachrimena. So he says, but wait a second. A person, one of the categories that we said he's not allowed to be machrim is his daughter, b'no bito. But wait a second. A man can, in other words, if you're saying the rule we learn from Ehema is that a person cannot be machrim anything he can't sell, but wait a second. He has rishus to sell his daughter, because we know that if someone has a katana, he could sell her. We dealt with this the other day tangentially when we talked about the sugi of yiyud, where the master marries the daughter. But in other words, so in any event, he's allowed. That's by Alma Ivri also, but he's allowed to sell his daughter. We know that he has that right. So how could you say that he's not allowed to sell his daughter, but yet the rule would be that he can do anything he's allowed to sell, he's allowed to be machrim? So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, behema. So in other words, we're revising our thing, we're going to say, ma behema, yesh lo rishus l'mochro li'olam, af kol she yesh lo rishus l'mochro li'olam. So we're going to say the standard is not whether it's something you're able to sell, because he is able to sell his daughter who's a katana, but rather it's something that you're able to sell la'olam. Now, what does that mean? Machlokas Rishonim. So let's take a quick look at Tosfos, because Tosfos says two answers, and they're going to cover both possibilities. So says Tosfos, the middle Tosfos there. Talmud Lomar, Behema Ma Behema Yesh Rishus Slim Kar Le'olam. Yim Tomer. So Tosfos. So the way Tosfos is initially understanding this is that a behema, just like a behema, you have Rishus to sell it forever. Meaning you could sell a behema for now and for all time going forward. So too, anything that you're able to sell for now and for all time going forward. That's how Tosfos initially understands that. Says Tosfos, Yom Tomer, Im Kain, Stei Achuza Nami, Shari Im Machra, Chazeres L'Bailam B'Yovo. So he says, wait a second. According to that rule, that anything you can't sell forever, then you can't be Machrim. So by that rule, a Stei Achuza should not be eligible for Cherim. Why? Because a Stei Achuza doesn't get sold forever. If I sell my Stei Achuza, it comes back to me in Yovel. So therefore, I should say that you're not allowed to do a Cherim of Stei Achuza. But what's the problem with that? The Pasuk says that you can have, it says, Mikol Asher Lo Me'adam U'Behemo U'Mistei Achuza. So you see that for sure you could be Machrim a Stei Achuza. But yet, if the standard of what's eligible for Stei Achuza is things that you could sell forever, a Stei Achuza you cannot sell forever. Yesh Lomar, he says, Tosa says his answer, Dimikom Makam Yesh Lo Rishus Lahotzi Miyado La'olam, that nonetheless a person has Rishus, there is a way that you could lose your Stei Achuza forever. Kigon Im Hekdesha V'gala Acher Shemischalekes L'Koyanim B'Yovol. So Tosa says, but there is a way that you could sell your field forever. Now you can't sell it to one person forever. But if I sell it to a person, we've dealt with these halachas, and then someone comes and is goel it, I lose my ability to redeem it, and then yovel goes to the kohanim. So basically, by my selling the Stei Achuza, I produced an instance where the Stei Achuza was sold forever. It went to different people. It went to the guy I sold it to, it was makdashit, it went to the guy who was poda it, and then it went to the kohanim, but there's an opportunity to lose your Stei Achuza forever, albeit not by sale. I used the word sale before, it's wrong, but there's a way to lose it. That's what Tosfos is saying, Yoshua Rishos Lahotzi Miyado. I want to give maybe another answer, but let's first finish Tosfos. And so Tosfos says, Inami Yeshlomer Dahachi Perusho. And this is actually going to be the perush that Rashi uses. Ma Behema Yeshua Rishos Lemochro, Lemochro Liolam, that a person can always sell a behema at any point in that behema's life. Ustei achuza nami kozman shehi biyado yachol hu lemochro. And similarly, a stei achuza, anytime I want to sell a stei achuza, I'm entitled to do that. Right? Masha'en came babito d'mishetagdil Because so this is a different understanding of what it means that you have to be able to sell something la'olam. Doesn't mean that you sell it forever and ever, because even a steachuzah doesn't get sold forever and ever, but rather it's something that you always have the opportunity to sell. So that covers a steachuzah and it covers a behema, but what it doesn't cover is his daughter, because a man's right to sell his daughter is limited to the period when she is a ketana. So I want to say maybe another answer for Tosfos. I don't normally say my own thoughts here, but I'll say it because I think what it's based on is a very yesodistic thing, and hopefully it won't take too much time. But it's an interesting idea that the Meshech Chachma deals with this. The real question he deals with is in Mishpatim. He talks about by Eved Ivri, it says that if an Eved Ivri is supposed to work 6 years, if he wants to stay further, so then you make him an Eved Nirtza, you pierce his ear. And then what does the pasuk say? Va'avada la'olam. And the question is, what does la'olam mean? So we say toyovo. So the question they're dealing with is, well, one second, is it forever? It's toyovo. Why not say till yovo? Why do you say forever? So in any event, the Meshech Chachma doesn't get so much into the why, but he gets into the idea that la'olam really means la'olam. And it's actually, he bases it partially on the Tosfos that comes up later in our Masechta on Daf Lamed Gimel. But the idea, he says, is if someone were to be an Eved Nirtza, he talks about this concept. He's not clear 100%, but he says if someone were to be an Eved Nirtza, and so he worked 6 years, he pierced his ears, now he's waiting for Yovel, and then the institution of Yovel becomes Batel. So then what happens? He never goes free. That's what the Meshech Chachma posits. And so therefore, what do you see? You see that Be'etzem, the halacha of an Eved Nirtza is that he serves forever. Just that Yovel stops it and or it comes out from the side and says, even though I said it's l'olam, I'm going to let you go free at Yovel. Where do you see this concept in a very clear fashion? The Rambam discusses this, not in the same exact context, but in other words, the Rambam discusses ayin tachas ayin. We know that if someone knocks out someone's eye, the pasuk says he gets his own eye knocked out. And what do we say? What does that mean? It means mammon. It means you pay money. So the question is, why is it that you, why does the Torah say ayin tachas ayin? Why not just say you have to pay someone for if you knock out their eye? So the way the Rambam understands is that the Torah is really conveying a normative judgment. If I told you that when you knock out someone's eye, you have to pay money, so it's a transactional thing. Okay, you want to knock out someone's eye? Okay, you have to pay him money. The idea that the Torah says ayin tachas ayin is to give you a normative judgment, to tell you that if you knock out someone's eye, the proper punishment for you and what you deserve is that your eye should get knocked out. But the Torah didn't want a bunch of one-eyed people walking around. So the Torah says, okay, you need your eye knocked out, but because we're chas on your eye, we're going to let you pay money to get out of your obligation. But it is not the same. There's a huge difference between saying an eye for an eye means an eye for an eye just that we let you pay money versus if you say that if you knock out someone's eye, you have to pay money. So there's a normative judgment that's going on here that would not be conveyed by saying money for an eye. So if we get back to our case of an Eved Ivri, so it's in other words, when it says va'avada la'olam, the Torah is making a normative judgment. The Torah is saying, if you are happy being an Eved and you want to go past your 6 years, the right punish or circumstance for you is that you should be a servant forever. Va'avada la'olam means that. The Torah is conveying a normative judgment. And that's why it doesn't say you serve till Yovel. What the Meshech Chachma is pointing out is that there actually is, and it's not just that we say la'olam and it means to yovel. He's understanding, maybe like the Rambam, he doesn't reference the Rambam, but like the Rambam, which is the halacha really is, just like ayin tachas ayin, that's the halacha, and we separately come and say you could pay money, that by Eved Ivri, the halacha is, if you become an Eved Nirtza, then avada la'olam, then you're going to be a servant forever. Just that the Torah then comes along and says, but, you know, we decide that in Yovo, when everything else goes free, we're going to let you go free also. So what you see from this Meshech Chachma, Vavadar La'olam, he's saying is that the real halacha is you serve forever. And in fact, if the institution of Yovo would be Batal, he would serve forever because that's his outcome. So if you understand that, so then a Steachuza also, that really a Steachuza, perhaps you could say, is sold forever. It's sold La'olam because we know that a steachuza is only while Yovel is in effect. If Yovel were to be abolished and we would cease to have Yovel, then the field would never go back to the owner. So you see that maybe you could argue that that is la'olam, that that's a case of la'olam, and that could be an answer to Tosis's question about how is it that you say that you could sell an achuza field forever. And in fact, at a certain level, again, Tosis didn't say this, but in other words, Tosis had to create a case where it wasn't a sale. In other words, it was a way that you could dispose of your stay achuza forever, which was by being makdish and someone else being goled, and then you lose it to the kohanim. In this case, you would say that it's being sold and it's a sale at a certain level, la'olam, perhaps you could say. In any event, continues the Gemara. So we figured out that that's the relevant thing, that if you have rishus to sell something forever, then you can be machrim it, and that's what you learn out from the word behema being included in the pasuk. Four lines from the last of the thin lines. Amar Elazar ben Azayim legvaya and Admar Ashai. So the Gemara, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah, after Rabbi Elazar said, you can't be machrim all of your assets, Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah comes and says, so you see, if legavoa, you can't be machdish, you can't be machrim everything, then surely you have to be chas on your nechasim. So ask the Gemara, hainu tanakamo. This is the same as Rabbi Elazar. In other words, he added a thought. He said, you see a concept from here that you shouldn't use up all your assets. So are they arguing here, or what's going on? So the Gemara says, ikabinayu, the Rav Ila, the Am Rav Ila, the Halacha of Rabbi Ila, which we've encountered before in Ksubas, Usha is kinu, that in Usha they were misakin, hamavazvez, ayavazvez, yosemi chomesh. That a person who wants to spend his assets on a mitzvah, he shouldn't spend, mitzvah we say up to a third, but in order to generally like tzedakah, he shouldn't give more than a fifth of his assets. Maisa be'echa shebikshu levazvez, yosemi chomesh. There was a story with someone that wanted to distribute more than a fifth below Henichelo Chaverov, and his friend or friends didn't let him with money. Rabbi Yishovev was Rabbi Yishovev. Amila Rabbi Yishovev, and there's others who say that Rabbi Yishovev was the one who wanted to be mevazvez more than a fifth below Henichelo Chaverov, and his friends or friends didn't let him. Umanu, who is that didn't let him? Rabbi Akiva was Rabbi Akiva. So what Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah is coming to say is say, no, I hold of this, that they said bu'usha eskinu, and that they don't let you be mevazvez yosem mechomesh. And therefore, it's not enough to say that you can't give, that on earth, the Tanakhama Rabbi Elazar held, that as long as you hold on to some assets, you could be machrim almost everything. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah is coming to teach the halacha of bu'usha eskinu, that no, you shouldn't give away more than a fifth of your assets. Now, some understand that this is actually halacha l'moshe Messina, which is based on Yerushalmi, which at a certain level would make sense for here, where we're talking about something, a Torah concept, not just a tikkun in Usha. But in any event, that was what Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah was coming to say, is that you shouldn't give greater than a fifth. This concept of Be'usha is kino. So the Yaris Tavash of Yonasan Aipshit says something interesting. He says that we know that, he says, what's pshat in Usha that they were misaking this? So he says that we know the Gemara talks about the 10 places that Sanhedrin was exiled by the Churban. And so one of them is Usha. So the idea is that if the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed, so we know that during the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash, people lived on Milo Menateva, that their mezonos was provided for. And so the idea, he says, in Usha, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so now you no longer live L'mayla Min HaTeva. So you have to be more careful, in other words, when you're living L'mayla Min HaTeva, you could give away most of your money. Not a big deal, because you're going to be provided for. But once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and we no longer have that tzchus, so that's what he says is the reason that they were misakin this in Usha. The Chassam Sofer, it's interesting, learns, not everyone, many people see it differently. Generally, people see this as like a cap, saying if you're super generous, then even so, don't give more than a fifth. The Chassam Sofer understands that the halachas of tzedakah would tell you that basically, once you have enough money to live on and a little bit, then you would have to give everything to tzedakah. So he says, it's only because we say that ayivazvez yosem michomesh, that you're, in other words, he's saying your obligation to give tzedakah stops at the 20%. Now, obviously, you know, we don't have a halacha that you have to give to 20%. We generally see it as you could give to 20%. Where's the whole source of this? Rashi points out, we learn from Yaakov Avinu, because he says, aser asrenu lach, m'chol ha-shatitim aser asrenu lach, So aser, asrenu, two meisers, that's 20%. In honor of the Rav, I'll tell you there's a Baal Shem Tov. The truth is that there are people who paskin that if someone is muflag bashirus, he's very rich, so then he's not bound by this concept. But the Baal Shem Tov says as follows. He says, you notice it doesn't say, that someone who's giving tzedakah shouldn't give more than a fifth. It says, I'm a vazvez, ayavazvez, yosemichomashi. Vazvez is like spreading out. He says, this is someone who's like, considers what he's giving to be a waste. So in other words, if someone is a very stingy person, so he doesn't want to give his money. So when he gives his money, it's yavazvez. He's like, forced to give it out. He's doing it because he feels obliged to do it, not because he wants to do it. So he says, in that case, if someone is that kind of person, then you shouldn't give more than a fifth. But says the Baal Shem Tov, if someone is a Ruchav Lev, he's someone who's generous and he's kind-spirited and he sees this as an opportunity to give, so then he's not limited by this fifth. So that's how he understands Yevazvez, Ayevazvez, Yosef Michomish. A lot more to say, but we'll move on. Says the Mishnah, Hamachrim bino ubito v'avada v'shivchaso ivrim v'stei miknaso. So we already learned this halacha. We learned that someone can only be machrim something that he has the opportunity to sell that at any given time or the ability to sell forever. So we say as follows, that if someone goes ahead and is machrim his son or his daughter or his Eved Ivri or his Amma Ivriya or his stay Mikna as opposed to stay Achuza Ein Mukhramin, that's not considered Cherem Shein Adam Machrim Davar Shein Ashlo, because a person can't be machrim something that doesn't belong to him. And in order to be machrim something, you have to be able to be machrim it in its entirety. Which by the way supports the idea of la'olam being that you have to be able to sell it forever, as distinct from meaning to sell it forever and ever, meaning that it's sold in its entirety, because you're saying that the issue is a davar sheino shelo, which seems to be, seems to support that idea perhaps more than the idea that you just need to be able to sell it at any given time. Because you see the Mishnah saying the reason it doesn't work is because you can't be machrim something that doesn't belong to you. If you don't have the ability to convey it in perpetuity, then perhaps that's not, that's a davar sheino shelo. Kohanim velavim ein machrimim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a Kohen and a Levi can't be machrim. We're going to see in the Gemara why, and Rashi points out, okay, so Rashi says, because basically if someone is going to give, if someone, you know, we'll see it in a second. I'm sorry, so I'm jumping ahead. So we'll read the Mishnah. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kohen and Levi can't make a cherem. Rabbi Shimon says, Kohanim ein machrimim shachramin shelahen, v'alavim machrimim she'en acharamim shelahen. So Rabbi Shimon says that it's a Kohen who can't be machrim, but a Levi can be machrim. Why can't a Kohen be machrim? Because if a Kohen, the way Rashi understands is, if a Kohen gives a cherem, right? So what's going to happen? It's going to come right back to him because he's a Kohen and he's entitled to the cherem. So therefore, a Kohen can't do a cherem because it's like a joke. You're machrim something and then it's yours. So there's nothing to do there. But, says Rabbi Shimon, but a Levi doesn't get the cherem. The cherem goes to the Kohen. So a Levi should be able to make a cherem. So he argues on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that even a Levi can't make a cherem, and we'll see shortly what the basis of their machlokas is. Rabbi says, Nira'i, he says, what seems to be a middle stance, but we'll examine it in the Gemara. Nira'i in divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'karkos. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't, that neither a Kohen nor a Levi can do a cherem. That makes sense when you're talking about land. Shenemar, because it says, Ki achuzas olam hilohem, that the land will be an achuza for them forever. For the Levium, you're talking about the Levium. So therefore, it makes sense that he can't be machrim his achuza. Why? Because we know cherem, I mentioned this at the beginning, if you're machrim a stay achuza, you lose all your rights to it. So a Levi shouldn't be able to be machrim his karka because so in other words, everyone should agree that a Levi shouldn't be able to machrim his karka because he's not allowed to, because it's supposed to be an achuzas olam. So Rebbe says, so it makes sense to me that what Rebbe Yehuda says, that a Levi also can't do a cherem by karka. The divrei Rebbe Shimon b'metaltelin shein acharamim shelahen. But Rabbi Shimon, who says that a Levi can be machrim metaltalin, makes sense because the metaltalin don't come back to them, it goes to the Kohen. So why shouldn't you be able to do it? That's the way we would read the Mishnah in the ordinary course. The Gemara is going to change that understanding. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Bishlam Kohanim e machrimin shacharabin shalahem. So it makes sense what Rabbi Yehuda says, that it makes sense by Kohanim that they shouldn't be able to do a cherim. El Leviim, but what about Leviim? Bishlama Mekar Koi, Lom Mekarmi, Dechsev Kiachud Zolom Hilahem. Okay, so I get it why you might say a Levi can't do a cherim as relates to Karko. El Metaltali Lachremi. So he says, but why not say that a Levi can do a cherim on Metaltalin? It's not like it just comes right back to him. It's not already his. It goes to the coin. So Rabbi Yehuda would tell you, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Mikol Asher Lo Misteach Uzal. So skip some words there, but this is the same Pasuk we've been darshening. Ach, Kol Cherem Asher Yachem Ish LaHashem, Mikol Asher Lo Me'adam U'Behemo U'Misteach Uzal. So, right? So we know, Mikol Asher Lo, we discuss as a reference to Metaltalin. And a few words later, it says, U'Misteach Uzal So, Makish Metaltalin Karkoz. So therefore, there's a Hekesh. By having both Kol Asher Lo, which is Metaltalin, in the same pasuk with Steach Uzaso, so then we're going to say that there's a comparison. And since we know that the Karka by a Levi, he can't do a Cherem because Kiachuzas Olam Hilahem, so therefore Metaltalin also a Levi can't do a Cherem. And therefore, the reasons why each of these things happen is totally different. So a Kohen, the reason he can't be machrim anything is because if whether metaltalin or karka, if he's going to be machrim, it's going to come right back to him. So it's silly. For Levi, the reason he can't be machrim karka is because it says ki achuza soilom hilahem, that they have, it's an achuza for them forever. And why can't he be machrim metaltalin is because metaltalin has a hekesh that compares it to karka, and since he can't do karka because achuza soilom hilahem, so then also he can't do metaltalin. Rabbi Shimon, what is bishlam kohanim? Kida Amran. So Kohanim, it makes sense. I'm sorry, Bishlam Kohanim Kida Amran, the Kohanim makes sense. El Leviim, but the Leviim, Bishlam Metaltalin Lachrim. So just remember the sequence of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, a Kohen, a Levi can't do a Cherem at all. Rabbi Shimon said, the Kohanim can't do a Cherem, but a Levi can. So now we're going to say, Bishlam Kohanim Kedam, and the Kohanim, like you said, because it belongs to them, El Leviim, the Leviim, you said that the Leviim can do a Cherem. Bishlam Metaltalin Lachrim Delo Makish. So maybe you don't hold of the Hekish between Metaltalin and Karka, and therefore I understand why you say a Levi can be Machrim his Metaltalin. El Mekarkoi Amai. But why would you, Rabbi Shimon, hold that you could be that a Levi could be Machrim his Karka? Haksiv, it's written in the Pasuk, Achuza Solom Hilahem, that it's a permanent achuza for them. So, of course, he can't be machrim his land. So says the Gemara, my machrim and nami dekamar, metaltali. He says, what did Rabbi Shimon mean when he said that a Levi can be machrim? He meant that a Levi can be machrim his metaltalin. Okay, so now he's saying, but ein achinami, a Levi cannot be machrim his karka. Says the Gemara, wait a second, v'hami dekhtani seifa. What was the end of the Mishnah? Amar Rebbe. Rebbe came up with this middle position where he said, Nira'in divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'mekarki, v'divrei Rabbi Shimon b'mentaltali. That I'm going to pick Rabbi Yehuda's view by karka, where he says a Levi cannot be machrim karka, and I'm going to pick Rabbi Shimon's view by metaltali. Miklal, the Rabbi Shimon b'mekarkai, nami kamar. So he says, so the implication is, if Rebbe's saying, I'm going to pick Rabbi Shimon's view but that a Levi can be machrim by metaltalin, it implies, but I'm not going to take his view by land. So what do you see? You see that the implication of Rebbe is that Rabbi Shimon said his halacha by karka. So we're trying to answer that when Rabbi Shimon said that a Levi can be machrim, it meant metaltalin, not karka. But wait a second. You see from Rebbe that Rabbi Shimon does argue, and then secondly, that's what Rebbe's saying. Rebbe's saying a Levi can do it by metaltalin, but not by karka. So how could you explain that? That's really what Rabbi Shimon is saying. So Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, we're reading the Mishnah wrong. We have to read it as follows. I'll read the Gemara and then I will just talk through what it means. Amar Rebbe, Nira'in de Rebbe Yehuda, L'Rebbe Shimon Bekarkos, Sha'af Rebbe Shimon Lo Nechlak, Alav Elab Metaltalin, Alav Bekarkos Modile. So we'll translate it in a minute, but the basic idea is the following. Is that here's how you should read the Mishnah. Hakohanim and Levim ain't machrim in the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the Kohanim and Levim cannot be machrim, metaltalin, or karka because he does the hekesh. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hakohanim ain't machrim. The Kohanim are not machrim, sham charam shalahen, because it's a circle, comes right back to them. Vahalavim machrimin sheina charam shalahen. But the Levim can be machrim because it doesn't belong to them. What is that talking about? That's talking about only metaltalim. To which Rebbe says, Amar Rebbe, Nirayin div Rebbe Yehuda li Rebbe Shimon bekarkoz. That Rebbe Yehuda's view that a Levi cannot be machrim something makes sense to Rebbe Shimon by karka. So he's saying basically Rebbe is explaining, he's not coming to pick between them, he's explaining Rebbe Shimon agrees with Rebbe Yehuda by karka, shenemar ki achuzas olam ilahem, v'divir Rebbe Shimon. So the way we're now going to understand this is that Rebbe continues and says, divir Rebbe Shimon b'metaltalin, that when did Rebbe Shimon's, it's not that we pick Rebbe Shimon's halacha by metaltalin, it's when did Rebbe Shimon say his halacha, b'metaltalin shein acharam shalahem, by metaltalin, because a Levi is validly able to make a cherim because it goes to the kohen. So now let's just read the Gemara. Amar Rebbe, Nirayin de Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon v'karkos. Rebbe Yehuda's words by karka make sense to Rebbe Shimon, which is why he says his halacha only by metaltlin. Sha'af Rebbe Shimon lo nechak alav elo v'metaltlin. Because Rebbe Shimon himself, when he said that a Levi can be machrim, was only talking about metaltlin of v'karkos modile, but by karka he would be modit Rebbe Yehuda. So you see that what's happening here? That he was, the Rebbe was just explaining Rebbe Shimon's view. It's not like we have three, that Rebbe Yehuda said no one can be machrim, Rebbe Shimon said everyone can be machrim, and Rebbe came between. It's that Rebbe Yehuda said, I consider they're a hekesh, and therefore a kohen can't be machrim because it's just cycling. A Levi can't do karka because achuzas olam ilahem, and a Levi can't do metaltalin because there's a hekesh. Comes Rebbe Shimon to say, I agree with you by karka, ki achuzas olam ilahem. I disagree with you by metaltalin because at the end of the day, I don't make the hekesh, and a Levi should be able to be machrim metaltalin because it goes to the kohen, so it's not that same cycle you have by the kohen. Says the Gemara Amar Rechia Bar Avin, hechrim metaltalin nosen lekol kohen sheyirta, that if someone does a cherim on metaltalin, he should be able to give them to any kohen that he wants. Shenemar kol cherim b'Yisrael lecho yia, that the Rabbanu Shalom talking to Aaron HaKohen said that any cherim in Yisrael should come to you, to the Kohanim, and therefore the just like anything else that's not brought to the Beis Hamikdash, it just goes to whichever coin you could pick. Just like by your Truma or Truma's Meiser, you could pick the coin you want. So too, by Cherim, you could just, you know, if someone's Machrim is an alarm clock, he just delivers his alarm clock to the coin. Continues, Rav Chia Bar Avin, Hechrim Sadosov. Now, what happens if he was Machrim his Sadeh, his Steachuza? Nosun the coin Shabosa Mishmar. He gives it to the coin who's serving at that time. Exactly what time it is, a lot of discussion about, but he gives it to the Kohen in the Mishmar in the Beis HaMikdash. Shenamar, why? Because it says, now this is an interesting limud. So basically, I'll explain outside what's going on here. This pasuk is a pasuk we've dealt with in different contexts, which says, what is this talking about? This is talking about what we've been dealing with the last couple of days. That if someone is makdish his steachuza, and then he doesn't redeem it, and someone else redeems it, so then what's going to happen to it? At Yovel, it goes out to the Kohanim, right? So that's the etzem halacha of the pasuk. And we're going to see, it says, la kohen tiachuza. So we're going to see that we're going to learn from Gezel Ager, that when it says it goes la kohen to the kohen, it means to the kohen, but also mishmar, and that mishmar. So what does that have to do with acherim? Because if you look at the pasuk says as follows: V'ha'ya asada b'teisu b'yovel kodesh Hashem kistei acherim la'koin tiachuzaso. So what's weird about this is that it would seem that we would know from the language of the pasuk, it would say that you would think that it was bringing in stei acherim to explain to you what happens to the stei achuza, but it's actually the other way around. So what we're saying is from the words la'koin tiachuzaso, it tells you, lakoin tells you that it goes to the mishmar. And since the pasuk says that the stay acherem, that the stay achuzah is like the stay acherem, we learn from that that the stay acherem also goes to the kohanim in the mishmar. That's the limud. It will make more sense as we walk through it. So says the Gemara that says Rabbi Chiya Bar Oven that if someone is machrim his sadeh, it goes to the kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar kistei achirim lakoyin tiachuzaso. Begamar lakoyin lakoyin migazal ger. And we learn, how do we know that a stei achuza goes to the kohanim in the mishmar? Because we're learning the stei cherem from the stei achuza. How do we know? Because we learn it from Gezal Ger. And where do we know it, that Gezal Ger goes to the Kohanim in the Mishmar? Disanya, because we learned in a Braiso. La Shem Lekoin, the Pasuk says as follows. Okay, so this is talking about, so what is Gezal Ger? So we know the halacha is, if you steal from someone, and then you deny, you make a shvua that you didn't steal from him, and then you admit that you stole from him. So what do you have to do? You have to give him back his money. You have to give him a chomesh. And you have to bring a carbon, right? So, okay, that's fine, no problem. If the guy, what happens if the guy dies? So you go to his heirs, and you give it to them. You give him back the money and the chomesh, and then you bring a carbon, and all is good. What happens if you have a ger, who is a megayer, and never had children? So now it's a problem, because in Klai, you can never find someone who doesn't have some relative who can inherit him. But a ger shenis gair kekon shenola dami. At the point he becomes a ger, he's no longer related to anyone. If he never has children, so he has no heirs. So what are you supposed to do? So we say as follows. The pasuk says, "Vim ein leish goel lahashiv ha'asham elov." That if you don't have if the person doesn't have a goel, a relative to return the money to him, ha'asham hamushav lashem. Ha'asham, the principal, Hamushav, that's returned, adds the Chomesh, Lashem Lekoin. It goes to Hashem, to the Kohen, continues the pasuk, because it'll be relevant in a minute, Milvad Ela Kippurim Asher Yichaper Bo'olav. In other words, he has to give the money and the Chomesh to Hashem, to the Kohen, in addition or is separate from the El HaKippurim, the ram that he has to bring for Kapara, that he gets Kapara through. But in any event, what do you see? You see the pasuk says, by Gezal Ger, what do you do with it? You give it Lashem Lakoin. So really, the way we're understanding, I guess you could say Lashem Lakoin seems to be a stero, or just generally, it's a two-step process. You give it to Hashem, since we don't know where to go drop it off to Hashem, where does Hashem designate? Lakoin. So in other words, you give it to Hashem, Hashem gives it to the Kohen, Mishuchun Gavoa Kazachu, and that's how he gets it. Okay, so we say, that's what it says, Kino Hashem, and Nasan Lakoin, Shabbos Mishmar. So Hashem is Kona it, and gives it to the Kohen in that Mishmar. So continues the Braisa, that says, Ata Omer Lakoin Shabbos Mishmar, Eino Elo Kol Kohen Sheyirta. So it says, but wait a second, it just says, Lashem Lakoin, it goes to Hashem, Hashem assigns it to the Kohen. So how do you know that that means the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash during that Mishmar? Maybe it just means any coin. So says the Braisa, Kishu Omer Movad Ela Kippur Masher Yichaper Bo'olav Hare Have Omer V'Kohen Shabbos Mishmar Kasu Medaber. So we're saying as follows, that since the end of the pasuk says that Ha'asham Hamushav Lashem Lakoin, that the Asham, the principal, and the Chomesh go to Hashem, to the Kohen, separate from the El HaKippurim. So to whom do you bring the El HaKippurim? Who's capable of bringing a carbon for you? Only the Kohanim in that Mishmar. So you see that if the animal's going to the Kohanim in that Mishmar, then so too, Ha'ashav, Hamushav, Lashem, Lakoin, that the principal and the Chomesh also goes to the Kohen. So now, therefore, Sada Hayotza the Kohanim B'Yovel, Nosna lemishmar shepaga bo yovel. So he says, so therefore, so what do you see? You see from Gezal Ger that a stei achuza, that who does the stei achuza go to? It goes, because from la kohen, we make the gzer, we have gzer shava la kohen, from Gezal Ger tells you that who does the stei achuza go to at yovel? It goes to whichever mishmar happens to be the lucky mishmar to be during, when Yom Kippur comes, in the Yovel year, because they get all of these fields. Once we know that a stei achuza goes to the Kohanim Shabbos Mishmar, so then we also understand, because the pasuk says that Vahaya Asada B'tzeso B'yovo Kodesh Hashem K'stei Acherim, like the Stei Acherim, and since we know the Stei Achuzah goes to the Kohanim, so the Stei Acherim also goes to the Kohanim, so this is Rav Chiya Bar Avin's Halacha. If a person is Machrim Metalpul and he gives it to any coin he wants, if a person is Machrim Asada, he has to give it to the Kohanim Shabbos, so Mishmar, he has to give it to the Kohanim that are in the base of Mikdash at that time. Ask the Gemara a fascinating question. Ibai Lahu, Pagabo B'Shabbos Mai. So this is a very interesting question. So if we're saying that when Yovel comes and Yom Kippur, all of the fields go out, and we say that all the Stei Achuzah fields that weren't redeemed or were redeemed by someone other than the owner go to the Kohanim. So what happens if Yom Kippur is on a Shabbos? So what's the problem if it's on a Shabbos? Because we know that the Mishmar switched every week on Shabbos. So this Shabbos, I had two Mishmars, the outgoing one and the incoming one. So the question is, this is a big deal. Who gets the Yovel profits is huge, because you get all the fields. So which one is it? That's the Gemara's question. So Amr Rav Chiya Bar Ami, Mishmei Dechufina. So we say, I'm sorry? Yes. So we say, Nosna Lemishmar Hayotze, that you give it to the one who's outgoing. Why is that so? Because there's some point in the day on Shabbos that they switch. But if Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, when do the fields go free and the Stei Achuzah get allocated to the Kohanim? It happens the minute, it happens the minute that Yom Kippur comes in. So if it happens the first moment of Shabbos, it should go to the Mishmar who's serving at the first moment of Shabbos. Because at whatever point they would switch, it's not the second Shabbos comes in. The second Shabbos comes in, it's the old Mishmar. And the second Shabbos comes in, when Shabbos is Yom Kippur of Yovel, is when the fields go free. So that's who gets it. And the ones coming in, very close, but no cigar. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Tanya Nami Hachi. We find this also, because Bryce says as follows. Nimtzeis Ata Omer. So this is, the Bryce is talking about the fact that Stei Achuzah goes out at the beginning of Yovel, In other words, the Yovel is a whole year long. We've actually encountered this already, because we talked about being Makdish Sada during the Yovel year, which was premised on it going out at the beginning. But in any event, it's not so pashut, because we'll see in a moment that Shemitah takes effect. Shemitah's Ksafim, the fact that if someone owes you money, goes out. This gets into the whole question of when you sign a Prisbol. We don't have time to talk about it. But in other words, Shemitah's Ksafim happens at the end of Shemitah, at the end of the Shemitah year. Yovel happens at the beginning. So says the Brisa, Nimses Ata Omer, Echod Yovel, Echod Shvias, Mishamtin Ke Echod. That it turns out that Yovel and Shvias each do their respective Shemitah or Hashmata at the same time. Because Yovel, Shemitah's Ksafim, the fact that your loans get released, happens at the end of the Shemitah year. And the fact that the Stei Achuzah goes out happens at the beginning of the Yovel year. Now, if you think about it, the Yovel year is always preceded by Shemitah year, because how do you get to Yovel? You have seven Shemitah cycles. You have the seventh year being Shemitah, the seventh year of the seventh cycle being Shemitah, 49th year, and the 50th year is Yovel. So Shemitah and Yovel always are at the same time. So if there is Shemitah's Ksafim at the end of the Shemitah year, and there's the release of the Stei Achuzahs at the beginning of the Yovel year, so what do you end up with? You end up with the very same moment that the Shemitah's Ksafim and the Chazaras, the Chazara of the Stei Achuzah happens at the same moment. Ella, She Yovel B'tchilas V'Hashmita B'Sofa. That Yovel is in the beginning of its year and Shemitah is at the end. So when it says Ella, but the only difference is Yovel is in the beginning and Shemitah is at the end, ask the Gemara, Adarabo, Mishum Hachi Havai. He says, one second, what are you telling me? But Yovel goes at the beginning and Shemitah goes at the end. The whole purpose of what you're saying is that it happens at the same moment. Why does it happen at the same moment? Because, not despite, but because Yovel is Meshamin at the beginning and Shemitah is Meshamin at the end. So it says the Gemara, Emomi Pnei Sha Yovel. Okay, fine. Modified to say, why does it happen at the same moment? Because Shemitah is Meshamin Ksafim at the end of Shemitah and Yovel is returns the field at the beginning of Yovel. And therefore, it happens at the very same moment. So now, so therefore, what do you see from that? You see yet another source the very same moment, Rashi says, Ben HaShemashos, the very same moment, the only way you can have Shmitas Ksafim, and the release of the field happening at the same moment, which is what this Brisa says, is if the Shemitas Ksafim happens at the last moments of the Shemitah year, and if the release of the Steachuza happens at the first moments of Yovel. And so when would that be? That would be Ben Ashmashas. So therefore, this is a proof to the idea that the first Mishmar on Shabbos should get it, because it's the relevant point in time to know who should get the field is who's serving the first seconds of the Yovel year, because that's we see that because Yovel and Shemitah overlap only in those in that Ben Ashmashas period. So now, once we reference this, so now we're going to get into a different question, which is, when exactly do the Steachuzas release? So the Gemara says, Bishlam Shvius Besofo, it makes sense what you're telling me, that Shemitah Ksafim happens at the last moment in the Shemitah year, Dechsiv, because it's written, Miket Sheva Shanim Tasa Shemitah. At the end of 7 years, you make Shemitah. So that makes sense. The last moments of the Shemitah year is when you do it. Ela Yovo Betchilaso, but is Yovo at the beginning? Be Yom HaKippurimu. The Shemitah of the fields go back on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is not the first moment of the year that coincides with the last moments of the Shemitah year. 10 days later, says the Gemara. How do I know it's Yom Kippur? The Ksiv, because it's in Yom Kippur, Taviru Shover B'chol Arzachem, that it says that in Yom Kippur, Vevarta Shofar Truo B'chodesh Hashvi, V'esar V'chodesh B'yom HaKippurim, Taviru Shofar B'chol Arzachem. So it's saying that the Yovel Halachas take effect at Yom Kippur. So your whole this brisa, what does it mean that they overlap the end of Shemitah and the beginning of Yovel? So the Gemara says, "Hamani Rabbi Shmuel ben Shav Yochim and Brokohi, Damer Mei Rosh Hashanah Hu Dechayo Yovel." So he says it's Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochim ben Broka, who's of the opinion that Rosh Hashanah is when Yovel is Chayo. Now, mind you, this reference Rashi references us to Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Ches. And the Gemara over there talks about the fact that the Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochim ben Broka has a two-stage process. He actually talks about it in the context of Avadim. He says that the Avadim basically, they kind of had this weird period of partying. That's what it says. That Rosh Hashanah, they no longer have to serve their master, but they don't become free in a full sense of stopping to be Avadim until Yom Kippur. So it says, for basically, they party from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur, then they're released as an Eved. So in any event, what do you see? You see that when we're talking about, so while it's true that, and the same would be true of Karka, so the idea would be that if I was Makdish Afield, someone was Goel, and then it comes Yovel, so at Rosh Hashanah, the guy who was Goel no longer owns it. On Yom Kippur, it goes to the Kohen. That's the view of Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So therefore, it's consistent that the fields transfer on Yom Kippur, but nonetheless, there's a release of the fields from the guy who was Goel from Hektish, happens the first moments of Rosh Hashanah, that coincides with the end of Shemitah that came the year before, and that's how we explain it. Shama Chizkiya bar Bilute v'azol, Amar Kamed Rebbe Avo, v'lekosh metaltli l'karkos. So he says, wait a second. We know, we learned on Amud Aleph, that there's a hekesh between metaltalin and karka. And so if we know that karka goes to the kohanim shabosom mishmar, so then metaltalin also. Why not say the hekesh tells you that metaltalin should go to the kohanim shabosom mishmar? So why did Rav Chiya bar Avin say that if you metaltalin, if you're a machrim metaltalin, you just give it to whatever kohen you want? You should have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the answer, lav tanoihi. Didn't we say it was machlokas tanoim? The whole premise of this dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about whether a Levi can be machrim metaltalin was whether they held of this hekesh or not. So some tanoim hold of the hekesh and some don't hold of the hekesh. The ikar the makesh, the lo makesh. There are some who make the hekesh, some who don't. Kimandam lo makshino. And Rabbi Chiya bar Avin said his halacha that you give the fields to whichever coin you want was I don't say you give the metaltalin to whichever coin you want. Unlike the fields which go to the Kohen Shabbos, so Mishmar is because he did not hold of that Hekesh, and therefore he did not extend the halacha of Karka going to the Kohen Shabbos, so Mishmar to Metaltalin. Says the Mishnah quickly, Cherme Kohanim, Ein Lahem Pidyon, Elenosnen the Kohanim Ketruma. So we say as follows, that the Cherme Kohanim, that if I'm, and this is the halacha I said to you before, if a Kohen makes a Cherim, there's no opportunity, in other words, if I'm Machrim, I stay Achuza to the Kohen, there's no opportunity for me to be podet. El nosin lekohanim ketruma. It goes to the kohanim like truma. Truma. The kohen can do whatever he wants with it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir says a new halacha, new topic. Stam charam lebedekabayis. Lebedekabayis. That if someone just says, so in other words, we talked about this. The fact that there are two forms of cherem, a cherem to bedekabayis and a cherem to the kohen. So what happens if I go to my animal and say this animal is a cherem? Right? So, but I didn't say bedekabayis or kohen. So, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir says, stam charamim, if you just give a cherem, it goes to bedekabayis. Shenemar, what does he base it on? Because the pasuk says, ko cherem kodesh kadashim hu lashem. That he says, any cherem is kodesh kadashim tashem. So you see that any cherem, meaning if you didn't specify, it's gonna go lashem to bedekabayis, not to the kohen. Avichachamim amrim, and the chamim say the opposite, stam charamim lekohanim, that the stam cherem goes to the kohen. That if a person just says that this animal is a cherem, it goes to the kohen. Shenemar, because it says kistei hacherem la kohen tiachuzaso. It should be like the stei hacherem. It should go to the kohen. So therefore, you see that stam cherem goes to a kohen from the that they're next to each other. So it says the Gemara. Okay, according to the Chachamim, im kein lama nemar kol cherem kodesh kadashim hu lashem. So now, where the mission is kind of get, the mission, the Gemara does this all the time, gets distracted on tangents. But now the mission is kind of gonna focus on this. So what does he do with the pasuk of Kol Cherem Kodesh Kadashim Hu Lashem? He's gonna say, that's coming to teach you, Shechal Al Kodshe Kodshim, the Al Kodshe Kalim. So, that someone can do a Cherem on animals that are Kodshim Kalim or Kodshim Kodesh Kodashim. How does it work? You might say, one second. If I have an animal that is a carbon and I say it's a cherem, I can't give that animal to the kohen or even to bedekabayis because it's already a thing. So we're going to see now how someone does it. That's what the mission is going to get occupied with this. But just to keep track of why we got on this topic of how your machrim kachim kalim and kachim kadashim is because we're trying to explain according to the chachamim what do they do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir brought. So now we're going to get on this topic. Machrim adam is kadoshav ben kadosh kadoshim ben kachim ben kachim kadoshim ben kachim kalim. So he says a person can be machrim his kadoshim. How does he do it? So we're going to say as follows: im neder nosein dameha, v'im nedava nosein es tovasa. That's the gear that we're going to go with. So he says as follows: that if it's a neder, then he should give its money. Meaning, if someone said, I make a nether that I'm going to give an ola. And then he takes an animal and says, this is going to be my ola for that nether. So now, what happens if he is machrim it? He has to give the value of that animal. What is that animal worth to him? It's worth the full value of the animal. Why? Because he made a nether, I'm going to bring an animal. So if this animal is to get lost, what's going to have to happen? He's going to have to bring another one. So this animal's existence is valued to him, the full value of the animal, because if it ceases to exist, he still has a nether and he's going to have to bring it. So therefore, I have to pay cheirim to the kohen or to Beis HaMikdash the value of this animal. That's if it's a nether. But what happens if it was only a nedava? So nedava is, I said, I'm going to give this animal to an ola. So at this point, if the animal gets lost, is stolen, it dies, it doesn't bother me. So what is this animal worth to me? It's worth to me the tovas hana. Now we're going to use tovas hana in two frames. Normally when you think of tovas hana as you get to pick which coin it goes to. Here we're talking about the tovas hana that how much is it worth to a person? Rashi says if you were to give someone a really cheap opportunity to get an animal, in other words, how much is it worth to him to be able to bring an animal to the Beis HaMikdash and offer it up to the Rabbonu Shalom. So in other words, if you have an animal that you're not mechuyev to bring, how much is it worth to someone? He says, you know what? If that animal is so cheap, I may as well get the benefit of bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash and bring it to the Rabbonu Shalom. That's how much he has to pay for the cheirim. The animal still has to go to be an ola. But the fact that he made a cheirim on that animal says the value to him, which is the tovas hanav, being able to bring an urge. Because remember, he doesn't care if the animal gets lost. So the only thing he gains at this point from this animal is he gets the benefit of bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's how much you'd have to pay him. Now, how do you figure out how much that is? So continues the Mishnah. Shar ze'ola, if he says this shar is going to be an ola, so it's a nedava, Omdin kama adam rotu litim b'shar zel alosa ola afal pishen rashai. So that how much you ask, how much would a person pay for the opportunity to bring this carbon, even though he's not mechuyev in the carbon? So that's the tovas hana, and that's how much you have to pay. Says the Mishnah, how does this work by a bachar? Ha bachar ben tam ben bamum machrim also. That a bachar, you can also make a cherim on the bachar. Now here's a problem, because hold on a second. There's you obviously can't give this behemoth to cherim lumbedek abayis because it belongs to the coin. So if it's a tam, the coin has to offer it. And if it's a baal mum, then the coin gets to keep it. But it's not, you can't give it away. So rather, you're only giving the value. Okay, so you can say, well, the value, what is the value? I don't have to replace it. If it dies, too bad. That was the coin's bechor, it died. I can't offer it up to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, so I can't get that tovas hanah, because it's not mine to offer to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, it's the coin's, right? So rather, I have to give the value of this animal to me. What value do I have in this animal? So says the Mishnah, the Ketzad Podem also, how are you Podet? Omden kam adam rotu litein b'chor zeh litnu leben bito leben achoso. So a person says, how much would I be willing, in other words, let's say I walk up to a guy and I say, you have the b'chor that goes to coin, you could pick the coin, how about I pay you to give it to my granddaughter or my niece or someone like that. So in other words, to my nephew or my grandson through my daughter. So what's this going about? So I'll tell you the basic idea, and then we'll just understand why it doesn't in that language. So the basic idea is, how much would someone pay to be able to direct which coin should get it, right? Now, so therefore, that's the value to me. In other words, once I have a bechor, the value to me of this bechor is just, the only value I have in it is I get to pick who to give it to. And if someone would pay me to give it to his relative, that's how much that value is worth. So that's how much your cheirim would be. Now, why does it use this ben bito or ben achoso? It's referencing back to something we learned at the end of Bechoros, which is that a kohen, we said he can't offer to work with the guy in the garon, because, and then get the truma from him, because it just looks bad that a coin's working for his thing. And we said, for him to direct it to, in order to, for a coin to direct it to his own relatives would look bad also. Even though he's not directing it to himself, which is the main problem, even to direct it to his relatives looks bad. So therefore, we're trying to create a scenario where someone's paying money to deliver it to a particular coin. Now, I guess you could pay money to deliver it to a regular coin, but why would you? So people generally are going to pay money to deliver it to a coin with whom they have a relationship. But if he's delivering it to his grandson, he's a coin, and his grandson is a coin, the Ben Beno, son of his son, so then you're not allowed to do that, because you're not allowed to pay money to give to another coin if you are a coin. So rather, what's it talking about? It's talking about a Yisrael, or a Levi, I guess, who has a coin grandson, or a Kohen nephew. How does that happen? If his sister married a Kohen, or if his daughter married a Kohen, so then he has a nephew or a grandson who's a Kohen, but he's a Yisrael. Yisrael is allowed to pay money to go, so that's the value of the Cherim, the Tovas Hanah, of being able to direct to which Kohen you're going to give the animal.